Seen what a blessing it is to be able to be here. What a couple beautiful days the Lord's given us right here. Kind of a reprieve from all the bad weather and the rain and the cold and everything. Just two beautiful spring-like days and just a joy to be back in the Lord's house. So good to see us. Good number again here tonight. Got a couple things that's going to be going on tonight. Just kind of clue you in on it. If you'd like to go to the Cherry Groves Men Conference this year, I've got a card on it. It's the last Saturday in this month. The three preachers is Brother Chris Hayslip, the pastor of Calvary Statesfield, Brother Joe Arthur, the pastor of Harvest Tabernacle down in Georgia, and then the evangelist, Brother C.T. Townsend. It's from 2 o'clock until I think 6 o'clock. It starts at 2 o'clock, anyway. They don't have the ending time, but the meals to follow at the end of the conference. The card's right here, and I'm going to leave the sign-up sheet right here for now. I got a couple or three names already on there, but they wanted that back, and I've been forgetting to bring one. So just put your name on there, and I'll transfer it over to the sheet, and we'll get that back to Cherry Grove. We'll get a check from Brother Keith to cover the expense of the event itself. Two or three other things real quick, and then we're going to preach. You've got a nomination. If you've got a copy of the minutes from the January, also you'll have the new business for this month on the back side of it. But you should also get one of these. It's a closed ballot that we will be doing. On this sheet, you will see that we're recommending to the church. Your own recommendations were that we put Brother Robbie Shumay and Brother Kippy Hamby on as serving as active deacons here at the church, and that'll be on here, but we're going to vote on it as a closed ballot. So you need one of these. If you don't have one of these, if you'll slip your hand up, I'll have Brother John and Brother Jody bring you one back there. Slip your hand up if you need one of these. Back here's one. Brother, over here's one. If you need to take some of it, here you go, Brother Jody. And if you need one of these, slip your hand up. Back here toward the back, Brother Jody. Here, John, take these with you as well. But anyway, we'll get those ballots taken back up right away because we'll announce the vote tally at the end of the service whenever we get ready to go into the conference. So anyway, while they're doing that, if you have a copy of God's Word, we'll be in the book of Acts tonight in chapter number 7. I was talking to Miss Cindy over lunch today about this particular chapter. There's so much in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. It is a very lengthy read. If you start from chapter number 7 and verse number 1, and you read the entire chapter, I don't know that I've ever preached out of the entire chapter in its entirety. We will do that tonight, but don't get excited because it is 60 verses, because I will give you a summary of what's taking place. But tonight, if I can, I want to preach on this thought, the power of one testimony. And I want you to think about that. You have but one testimony. That's the only thing you have. You can give testimony of Jesus Christ, and that'd be wonderful. Testify about His goodness. Testify about His grace. And testify about His marvelous works. Testify about His salvation. If you experience that for your own, you've got that to share. But when it comes down to you and you alone, you've got but one testimony. And I love it when somebody stands up with a case of the can't help it. Brother Ryan, that's when it gets good around here. The choirs are singing. The Spirit's starts moving, and then all of a sudden somebody, they get a case of the can't help us, and they pop up, and with that one little popping up comes their testimony. And Brother Tim, you mentioned it in the prayer room, or somebody did, that sometimes people will say stuff with their mouth, and it makes you wonder what's in their heart. That might not have been you, but somebody's talking about there was some people that they're around, and the language coming out of their mouth makes you wonder if what's in their heart really is in their heart, especially if they say they have Christ. But then the Bible said from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So anyway, but I love it when somebody pops up and just can't help themselves, start testifying about how good God is. And when we see the totality of chapter number 7, we see that this whole chapter is devoted to the testimony of one man, that being the man Stephen. Now, we usually use Stephen. We love to go over there and jump to the end of the chapter and read about his stoning and how that he brings to light the fact that he stands before Paul and or Saul at the time, and they lay their coats at the young man's feet whose name was Saul. But I want to preach about tonight about a few things about chapter number 7 and about the power of one testimony. And I would say tonight, if you've got a good testimony, please guard that. It's a hard thing to ever restore a testimony. And it ought to be the most prized thing that you've got to yourself. I mean, above your house, above your car. Not that you shouldn't take care of your house and your car. You'll be good stewards, whatever God's given you. But you want to guard your testimony. Because once that thing gets tarnished, you know people, and I know people, we all know preachers, we all know deacons, we all know people in general, that one time they were seemingly rapture ready. Miss Morgan, they were just like we are. They were ready to go. They talked of his goodness. They sang his praises. They taught. They did the things that we would do. And then all of a sudden, Brother John, something happened. And then their testimony got tarnished. I wonder then if that person that messed up their testimony, if they wouldn't be better served to ask God, say, Lord, would you let me live somewhere else? Would you give me another vineyard? Would you give me a different place to labor? Because if I fail for, let's just use your pastor. Brother Tim, if I stepped out on my dear wife, God knows my heart, I've never cheated on her, and I wouldn't do that. But if I cheated on my wife and we split up right here, I want you to think about how a testimony would be tarnished. The affair would be evident before the people. Pastor over at Calvary had to step down. Why? Well, it sounded like they had an affair. Pastor stepped out on his wife. Brother John, every message I've ever preached, every revival that I've ever preached, that's going to hang out there. And the people that may have been saved under the message that I would preach, they're going to say, man, I thought he was real. I thought it was real. And Brother John, I could do that as a saved man. You said, oh, you better watch that. Brother Tim, you better watch that yourself. You say, I'm above that. You better watch that. You don't say I would never do that. Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you even to death. That's what it called. What do we find him at? Out there denying, warming himself by the enemy's fire. But what could I do, Brother Brian, in Wilkes County, North Carolina, to regain my testimony, to restore that? I'm telling you, it'd be a hard sell. It would be. And I would almost, Brother Johnny, if I really did get my heart right, and that dear lady forgave me of my iniquity, she forgave me for my infidelity, and God blessed us, and we were able to work through that through Christian counseling and a lot of trips to the altar, and we prayed through that. I mean, if she really forgave me, it would be hard still in Wilkes County for me to gain a congregation and a trust of people with the same testimony that I've always had. I would almost say, Lord, I'm back in your will. I'm walking with you. My wife's forgiven me. Lord, most of all, you've forgiven me. And Lord, I really want to do what you put in my heart to do. You know, Brother John, I almost have to believe that he would move me to another area of the state or another place, another vineyard, another labor field, because I don't know that I could do it here. Why? Because my testimony would be that tarnished. I want to think about this tonight. This man by the name of Stephen. We've got 60 verses. You look at chapter 7 while you got your Bible open, and you look at chapter number 7. This is a unique passage of scripture. Because when Stephen starts talking, the first thing that he does, and y'all forgive me for just kind of hobbling around up here, just bear with me for tonight and try to ignore my infirmity in the flesh, but anyway. As it is tonight, we start out, and Stephen, he's walking right before the people that ultimately have his life in the palm of their hand. And I won't read it verbatim because it is a lengthy read, but I want to read some scripture, and I want to just read this part, 51 through about 57 or 58. If you will, I still want to reverence the reading of God's Word. This is not going to be the message in totality, but this is kind of where the summation of it all will come to. And if we will, we'll pick up the reading in chapter number 7 to verse number 51. And this is finally where Stephen just starts to bear down. I mean, Brother John, you heard about somebody bearing down. You'll hear people say, bear down right there, preacher. Pull up and preach right there for a little while, preacher. You go ahead and preach right there. Pull up and park right there. Well, that's exactly what's happened in the 51st verse. Peter just going to settle down and just lay it all out there. And that's where I want to pick up the reading, but we're going to go bring it all full front here in just a moment. The Bible says in chapter number 7 and verse number 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, speaking of Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Brother Joe Knight, I know you're probably messing with the baby. Would you ask God to bless our scripture real quick? All right, go back in the same chapter to chapter number seven in verse number one. And I'm just going to read just a little bit. I want you to see how this thing starts off. You would understand that it is in chapter number six, rolling into chapter number seven, verses number nine down through number 15, where Stephen is then brought before the council. And it is in chapter number seven and verse number one that he begins his testimony. And it said, then said the high priest, are these things so? What things are you talking about? It's talking about the things that had just taken place from chapter number six, verse number nine, down through number 14, about how that he had placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And Stephen was telling them that this man, let's just read a little bit of that. It said, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which called the synagogue the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of whom Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then the suborned men said, have we heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God? And they stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him and called him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, and here begins Stephen's discourse or his testimony. Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. Now, then, here's what I want to say. In chapters number 7, verse number 1 through 50, he starts out. And Stephen shows them their own history. They're Jews and they're of the Jewish faith. They held to the customs of the law. And if anybody would know that, it would be this council. They would know the history. They would know about Abraham. But I say this chapter number 7 is unique because you get a telling of almost the entire Old Testament gospel here, rolled right neatly into the lap of Stephen's testimony. If you look down through there, he takes you from Abraham. He goes right down into Joseph in chapter number 7 verse number 9. Talks about the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. It goes on down, he talks about Jacob. It goes on down, he starts talking about Abraham and Shechem and all these other things. He goes right down through that. But saying all that to say this, we ought to tell people about the history of God. We need to tell them about the law. You say, well, why would you want to talk about the law? I would want to tell them about the law. I'd want to tell them about the Ten Commandments. I want to tell them about the old Bible. And if my friends, even this week in our local scene, we have seen history defaced. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, my goodness, folks, open your eyes and look at what's going on around you. Brother John, it's not just against the Confederacy. I mean, they've gone back to poor old my fifth time over great uncle Ben. Ben Cleveland was my five time great, 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 grand, great uncle. And here we are, somebody defacing these monuments. You say, well, what's so important about that? If you don't wake up and smell the coffee, if you don't look around you, my friend, history needs to be taught. History, biblical history, it needs to be preached. Why? Because those that are so bent to destroy it or to erase it or simply forget it and not teach it, Brother John, are doomed to do what? Repeat it. Amen. Well, here we've got Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and Esau and Joseph, and all of these are being foretold by this one man by the name of Stephen. And Stephen's council that's listening to him, Brother John, they just can't hardly take this in. Why? Because it's all about that man, which is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stephen's telling him, hey, there's a newfound grace here, and you suborned men, you have murdered him. You have taken this man by the name of Jesus, and they accused him of speaking blasphemy. But let me just say, He rolls it out and he speaks of the history and he opens their eyes unto all those things that I'm trying to preach about tonight. And you go and read chapter number 7 tonight in your own mind, in your own time, and look at that, because he rolls Moses, he rolls it straight forward, and all that down through there you can see about Aaron in chapter number 37 and verses number 38 down through 40 and all the way down through there. He's taking them back in their mind to a historical God, the God that they loved. But them, they loved God, and that's what they're saying here. This counsel is that this man's speaking blasphemies against Abraham, and he's speaking blasphemies against God. He was not speaking against them, but rather trying to tell them that the very premise of Jacob, the very premise of Joseph, he was a picture and a type of this man that has just been killed back up here at Jerusalem. And they're he's trying to roll all that fast forward and say, look, history was there. It was foretold of old. And I'm trying to warn you at the council to heed my testimony and listen to my testimony. And we would do well to tell people the testimony of God and show them that the old Bible is there. It's there for us. The entire Bible is there for our instruction, and it's there for correction, and it's there to help us. But so many today would try to erase the old Bible. Preacher, you don't preach out of that old Bible. We're living in a New Testament church. Sure we are. We are the New Testament church. We're living in a dispensation of grace, and I thank God for grace, Brother John. But let's not forget history. You say, well, why is that law important? Look at Galatians. What does it say concerning the law? Anybody know? I know y'all are versed in the scripture probably as well as I am, some of you. Who was that? For those that are not there, go with me to Galatians. I wasn't planning on going there, but I will catch it real quick. The book of Galatians in chapter number 3, and we'll pick up the reading in verse number 23. The Bible said, before faith came, what was Stephen preaching? He's preaching faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing. But what's he doing? He's preaching the historical God and all the prophecies of old. Read it for yourself. And he's preaching them to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ fit that bill. It is the one that he's the one. And if you'll read that whole thing in its entirety, you'll see that. But then, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we see Stephen in verses number 1 through 50 of the 7th chapter, and he's showing them their own history. Brother John, it would be easy for us to show some people around here their own history. It'd be easy for you to look in your own life and say, let me tell you about our history. Somebody had to finally break out and get saved by God's grace, and I'm thankful it was me. Somebody eventually had to bow their knee, and I'm glad it was me. You could say that same thing, Brother Jody. I'm glad that it was me that God chose to save. And he will save you if you'll come to him. So I want you to see, I didn't read all of it, but I want you to go back and read it. Chapter number 7, verses number 1 down through 50, wherever I just told you to stop. Because I'm going to pick up the reading in 51, 52, and 53 where I was just at. Because I want to show you, he first shows them their history. And then 51, 2, and 3 said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. You say, what's that all about? If he tells them about the acts of Abraham, they believe the acts of Abraham, and they probably have the written record of that. If he tells them about the process of all the other patriarchs, they probably got the written work of that, because they would have had the Pentateuch. They would have had the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, if you will. And they've got all of that stuff in their possession to read, because they held to the law. They could have seen the journey of Joseph and understood the mission of Moses. They could have understand all of that, but here comes this man by the name of Jesus. And Stephen's trying his best to tell them that he's the one that'll save them. Because look, go back to chapter 6. It said, for we have heard him say that this, chapter 6, verse 14, that this man, that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses did. What's he talking about? He said, destroy this temple and I'll rise it up. He's talking about him. That's what he's saying. Destroy this temple. I'll take it up again. I'll build it up again in 3 days. But here they're thinking about their overthrow. He wasn't talking about that. He's more of a spiritual sense than of a physical sense. So here in verse number 51 through 53, Stephen shows them that they're all hypocrites. He shows them their, do you know what a hypocrite is, or hypocrisy? Saying one thing, doing another. Saying that we believe something, but yet not following the tradition of that belief system. Here we go, and he just basically lays it out, said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye, which the prophets, not your fathers, persecuted and have slain them and showed before of the coming of the just one, whom you have now been betrayers and murderers. And he just puts it right in their lap, Brother John, and you call a man stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. That was, they were of the Jewish custom, which circumcision meant something to them. And here Stephen just tell them, you forget the circumcision of this flesh. You're uncircumcised in your ears. You're not listening to me and my testimony that is true before you. And he said, furthermore, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your heart. Your heart's not been cut around. Your heart's not been purified. He just puts it on them and tells them about their own hypocrisy. We keep going. Verses number 50, just hit 54 by in and by itself. The Bible said when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. You say, preacher, what's he trying to show them there? I don't know what else it is, but to say that he's showing their inward hatred for what is right, for what is just, and for what is holy. Do we not see that today? We see somebody stand up for the unborn, and all of a sudden, people stand up and say they hate him. I preached on that Sunday. Marvel not if the world hates you. It hated him first. Stephen, through his testimony and the power of one man's testimony, has exposed to them the history. He has shown them their own hypocrisy, and now he has just blatantly laid out their hatred. Because here they are, Brother John. They stopped up their ears. They hate him. And Brother Tim, I don't know what gnashing on him with their teeth means. Maybe somebody knows what that means, Brother John. I don't know if they were trying to get to him physically. I don't understand that, to know that what they were gnashing on him with their teeth. But that what was going on in verse number 54. It said that when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Brother Ryan, you got saved. Wasn't your heart pretty much pricked? Weren't you cut to the heart when you got saved by God's grace? You better believe you were. If you're saved tonight, you got cut to the heart. And I believe God's able to do that even tonight. So here we go. We're going to show you 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. Now he has shown them other things. And this is what I'm going to show you for just a minute. If you want to give somebody a powerful testimony, and you want to show them, Brother John, you can show them historical Jesus. You can show them historical text in the old Bible. And you can even do it to the point that you would expose their hypocrisy and say, yeah, you belittle the church. Y'all don't even know what you're doing over there at Calvary. Brother John, you can use the Bible and expose through your testimony. You can expose their lies. You can expose their hypocrisy. Whenever they say, I don't know much about that being saved and stuff, tell them, hey, I don't know what happened either. I'll tell you this, I was there when it happened. But here, I want to, and like I said, you might even expose their hatred. But verse 55, the scene changes from an earthward view. And Brother Jody, when you got saved by God's grace, things started to look different. You went from an earthly view to that of an heavenly. Here's what we see in verse number 55. It says, but he, that's being Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I mean, his spirit, his sight, everything's all about looking at his Savior. You show me another place in your New Testament, King James Bible, where it says that Jesus is standing. Show it to me, anybody, really quickly. In all of your New Testament writings, it tells us that he is seated beside the Father. Is that right? Is he not there as an advocate, a mediator? Is he not our propitiation? Is he not there seated beside the right hand of God the Father to intervene on our behalf? But where's he at in this text? He's standing. And I believe that when one of you, when one of us are persecuted, I truly believe that whenever, Brother Archie, you're going undergoing something, I believe that heaven is listening. I believe that we've got a Savior in heaven, Brother Danny. And I believe the Scripture would support it right here, that whenever we're going through persecution and we're going through some kind of a trial or some kind of an event that really scars us or hurts us or mars us, Brother John, you better believe that our dear Savior, He's looking down on us. And I believe at time, Brother Troy, He stands up, and at this time, He's about ready to receive Stephen unto Himself, because you'll see that. And the Bible said that He saw him standing at the right hand of God. And Brother Ryan, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and saluted and said, "That's my child," and he's soon coming home. And I believe that the testimony of that one man, you say, "Where are you going with this?" I'm going full forward. I believe that it became something that factors in a man by the name of Ananias. I believe it factors in 13 books of the Bible. I believe the power of one man's testimony has caused every one of us tonight to have the letters of the epistles to the churches. The Pauline epistles that he wrote to help us as pastors and preachers. You say, what's that all about? The power of one man being Stephen as he was preaching and teaching before this council. Who else was in that mixed multitude? Who else was standing there? Who else was listening? Who else were they laying the coats at? Whose garments were they laying their coats at? They were laying them at the feet of a man by the name of Saul. The latter part of verse number 58. And they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Then they stoned, look what it said, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." That's what he was saying. "Lord, just receive me." I'm going to have to quit. But anyway, I want you to know this tonight. You've got a powerful testimony. Don't let anybody taint your testimony. Guard it with your own heart. Guard it with your own life. I'm telling you, you've only got one. Don't mess it up. Because once your testimony gets tarnished, it's hard to get it back. And there just might be somebody. There may be a young child out here right now. I don't know how young he was or how old he was, but the Bible said that the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. I don't know if he was 10. I've not studied it out to know if he was 12. But there might be some young man in this church tonight that's watching your testimony and listening to every word you speak. And as you do that tonight, I'm telling you, they may just may be used greatly of God. You said Paul was a persecutor. He was Saul of Tarsus, and he was killing Christians. And we can read that in chapter number 8. And that's so, Brother Jody. We can read that. He was a persecutor of the church, murderous unto the people, injurious unto the people, requiring death warrants that he might go down there and get more. He was heading toward Damascus to go get some more Christians. Why? Because he was going to kill them. That's what he was after. But I'm telling you what, I don't think the words of Stephen ever stopped ringing in his ears. I don't believe the words, the testimony of this one man, the power of that one testimony, I don't believe that it ever stopped ringing in Saul's ears. And I'm telling you what, Brother Tam, when God smote him to the ground on that road to Damascus, what was the first words out of his mouth? Look at it for yourself if you'll flip the page. The Bible said in verse number 3 and chapter number 9, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth with a voice in him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said," what? "Who art thou, Lord?" He knew. Well, how did he know to say Lord? How did he know to recognize that voice? I'm telling you, it's the same voice that spoke to you the night of your conversion, the day of your conversion, the day of your salvation. That's the same message that come to you, Brother Jody, and said, "Jody, this is your day of grace. Don't send your grace away. Don't send your day of grace away." And we see that right here in this passage of Scripture. He said, "Lord, who art thou?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." What rings through my mind and heart today is that there's some child out here. There's some young person out here, even tonight, and in your life and in mine, that's looking at your testimony. And I'm telling you, the power in that single testimony can turn somebody away from God. I thought that Tim was something, but boy, he sure disappointed me. He wasn't what he said he was all along. I'm telling you what, you know what that says? If you've hung your hat on Christianity and you said, I'm saved, and then all of a sudden you do something that's so destructive to your testimony, it puts a question mark around what you were saying. And it's just, as I said, as he exposed their history, he also exposed their hypocrisy, because they ain't all about that anymore. If they were, they would never have stoned him. They would have welcomed him. They would have loved him. But not only that, it exposed their hatred for him. And then, because of that, he got to see the heavenly view. And because of the power of one testimony, this young man by the name of Saul heard every bit that was going on. And God used him, Brother Jody, to pin us down 13 books of this blessed King James Bible. Is that not amazing? The power of one man's testimony is still working some 2,000 plus years later. You said, well, how so? I just preached a message about that one man's testimony. Tonight, as we get ready to close this part out, I'm not going to call for an altar call. I'm just going to tell you this. Guard your testimony. You've only got one. And I'm telling you what, my friends, if you ever mess it up, it's going to be a hard, hard thing to ever get that thing fixed. I appreciate your patience and understanding and your prayers. I will tell you this. I will be going tomorrow to see a surgeon. I've got to have something done because it's just come to that point. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I don't need your sympathy. Just want your prayers. But anyway, tonight, if you've got your little paper filled out, if I could just get a couple to come up and grab, empty out your offering plates and just take these up. You can get those out and just put those in. And let me say this about that. I hope you weren't trying to just pick one. It's not either or. You're voting on both. It's an up or down vote on yes or no on both. They were the most nominated, recommended, whatever you want to call it, from the embodiment of the church. We took the top two. We talked to them. The deacons concurred. I love these men, and they're not the only ones that's qualified in here. Those are the two that the church looked out. But anyway, we'll take care of that here in just a few minutes.